2 Timothy chapter 2. Look if you would, starting at verse 20. It says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight again, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, I just pray that we will hear from you tonight, Lord, that you'll give us the message you want us to hear. Lord, help us all, Lord, as Christians, to be meet for the master's use. Lord, help us as Christians to be honorable vessels, like that you would want us to be. Lord, something that you could look at and be happy with, Lord, and that you something that you could use. Lord, help us all to be that. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the New Testament gives us many figures of speech of what it means to be saved and to be a member of the family of God and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, in the previous verse there in verse 19, before we ever get to our passage, it talks about the foundation of God. It says in verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Figure of speech there is a building and the fact that God's people are built upon a divine prepared foundation, an indestructible foundation, and that foundation is the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 20, he moves to another figure of speech, and he talks about the child of God being a vessel in a great building. Now, here Paul discusses with us some of the things that are necessary if we're going to be what God wants us to be, if we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ effectively as he wants us to serve him. So in verses 20 and 21, he talks about the matter of a dedicated life, and he says that a child of God is like a vessel in a great house. Now, the most important thing in the world for any person is for them to be a part of the household of faith. In other words, the most important thing is that you are in the Lord's house, that you're in the family of God, and the way you get there is to be saved. Now, that's the most important thing, okay? Tonight, I would hope that anybody in here who is not saved, who has never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save their soul, who has never been born again, that they get that way before you leave tonight. That's the most important thing, because eternity is at stake. You know, we're not guaranteed of another day, and if you die tonight, then you know I would hope that you would be in heaven. If the rapture were to happen tonight, I would hope that we would all see each other up there in the sky when they're with the Lord. So if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to get into the household of God because household of faith, there are many things. There's everlasting life in the household of faith. There's hope there. There's eternal inheritance there. It's a great house in its size. It's a great house in its wealth. But the wealth of a believer is something far more precious than money or a bank account or real estate. The wealth of the house of God is compared to spiritual riches, which are far better than any material riches. Now, tonight, I'm just going to tell you, I am rich in grace. And I'm rich in the things that really count and the things that really matter in life. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a member of a great house, and you are indeed very prosperous and rich as well. You may not have a dime in your pocket. You may not own anything. But if you're saved, you're in Christ, and you know you're going to heaven, you have something that even the rich people of this world that are lost don't have, and that's hope. That's hope. May I tell you, listen, I heard a preacher say years ago that you never see any U-Haul falling behind a hearse. You know why? Because you can't take anything with you. Amen? So the material riches that you may have in this earth and the bank accounts you may have on this earth, you say, well, boy, that's great. Yeah, but you know what? If you die, you can't take it with you. And I guarantee if you're on your deathbed, you're not going to care anything about those things. Why? Because salvation is eternal. And those riches are eternal. And so tonight, if you're saved, you are rich. And if you're not in that house tonight, you have no hope. If you're not in the house of the Lord tonight, as far as being in the family of the Lord tonight, you're condemned. And if you die never having been put into the family of God, then you'll spend eternity in hell, because only born-again believers are in the house of faith. It's a great house, and it's definitely the house that all of us want to be in. And so Paul here says that we as Christians are like vessels in that great house. Now, maybe you had the opportunity to go into what we would consider to be a mansion. In the past, I've got to do it maybe once or twice and actually go into a house that I could never afford in a million years, but just to be able to see the things that are in there. And, you know, sometimes when you go into a place like that, you'll see like a china cabinet with like the perfect china in there that they only use in case somebody very important comes by, which isn't me, okay? They have just the regular old plates for people like us. But, you know, if somebody important comes by, then they have those special plates that are sitting there. I remember my grandmother, when she was living, she had a no-touch-em room. How many of you have you ever seen somebody had a no-touch-em room? In other words, you had the rest of the house, you could live there, but you had that one room to where the plates were a certain way, the couch was a certain way, everything was a certain way, and nobody was allowed, especially as kids, we were not allowed to be in a no-touch-em room. That was only for important company. Always made me feel really great. You know, I wasn't important, okay? But that's the way it was. And sometimes when you go to those no-touch-em rooms, you'll have those certain plates and the certain glasses that they only use on special occasions. You have it there. If you'll notice right here inside this kitchen here, we actually have that, believe it or not. How many of you ever seen the blue and white plates in here? You know what that is? That's for special occasions. We don't put the donuts on them things on Sunday morning. But we do put stuff on them if we have like a dinner or something, okay? And so, you know, it's talking about, you know, these special plates, the honorable vessels. Maybe you saw silverware that people have used, they only use on special occasions. Maybe there were some crystal goblets on the table. You know, in a magnificent building, there are magnificent vessels. And chances are, if you were allowed to go back in the kitchen area, you'd find that there'd be other kinds of utensils and things back in there that just the normal folk use. Maybe wooden bowls or clay pots or something inconspicuous and cheap or rather inexpensive. You may even find paper plates and plastic forks. You just never can tell. But they're used in the back of the house. Some of you ladies probably have a variety of dishes at your house, and you probably have some dishes that you use only for special company. You know, dishes that nobody else is allowed to eat on. But then you have other dishes that aren't the best, but you just don't want to get rid of them because they have sentimental value. You know, maybe a cup that's cracked. You know, we have in our house, believe it or not, we have this one cup that the handle on that thing, I'm telling you could sit there and wiggle it. We never get rid of it. I know one of these days I'm going to pour a hot cup of coffee and I'm going to pick it up and it's just going to go everywhere. We never get rid of it. I'd never let anybody else use it. And I really should get rid of it. It's really not that good of a cup. I should throw it away. But I can't. It's mine. It's got sentimental value to it. Amen? And so we have that. You know, that's really the same way it is with God's children. If you've ever been saved, you belong to the Lord and you are his vessel. I'll say it again. If you're saved, you belong to the Lord and you are his vessel in his house. But if you're not usable, the Lord might have to just put you in the kitchen where people don't see you. Put you on a shelf. Not everybody else see you the way. Listen, God wants us to be a certain way, but we're not always the way that God wants us to be. And so the bottom line is, he can't use you the way he wants to use you if you're not the kind of vessel that you ought to be. So Paul says that the way God's people are in the great house of God, we're vessels. And Paul says that there are all kinds of vessels in the house of God. He says there are some vessels of gold and silver. There are some of wood and some of earth. He says there are some to honor and there are some to dishonor. He's just talking here about something that every one of us know to be true. And you know that, you know, if you think about this, when it comes to these particular terms, we do know it's true, and that is The vessels of the Lord are placed in the house of God according to their willingness to be used by the Lord in his service. If we're usable, if our lives are clean and pleasing unto the Lord, then he's able to use us as vessels of silver and of gold and vessel of honor. When I was studying this passage, the first thing I thought of was, you know what the Lord said to the devil over in the book of Job? He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know, just by hearing those words, I'm thinking that maybe Job was a vessel of honor. Amen? In other words, he said, listen, you want to see somebody that's faithful? Look at old Job there. Vessel of honor. Wouldn't it be nice to be a vessel of honor for the Lord? Wouldn't it be nice that the Lord would look at the devil and say, have you considered my servant Sharon or my servant Tim or my servant Jim? Wouldn't it be nice? But you know, a lot of Christians don't really care about that. A lot of Christians say, you know what, I'm in the house of God, that's good enough. Well, no, it's not good enough to the Lord. He wants all of his vessels to be vessels of honor. Amen? Because it brings him glory. He wants all of his vessels to be the silver and gold. He doesn't want us to be vessels of earth and wood. He doesn't want us to be that coffee cup that I have that you could shake the handle on it. He doesn't want us to be that. He wants us to be honorable. And so the Lord wants us to be that way, but if we're not going to be that way, then the Lord may put us in an inconspicuous place and put us out of the way on a shelf somewhere. Now, in the houses of the poor and needy, in the household of those who have no hope, you will not find any of these wonderful vessels. You'll not find any of these broken plates. You'll find nothing but broken plates and dirty cups, things like that. But in the house of God, God wants only the finest vessels in his house. Now, if your life more resembles those broken vessels and dirty cups, you are to ask yourself the question, have I truly been saved? That Bible says that once a person gets saved, that he's a new creature, that all things have passed away and all things become new. There should have been a change somewhere along the line since you got saved. You shouldn't want to be this, continue to be a broken vessel. You shouldn't want to continue to be just a nasty, broken, filthy vessel. You should want to be for the master's use. You should want to be something that the Lord could be happy with. And so there are some vessels in the house of God of honor, and there are some of dishonor. There may be some people tonight that are truly saved, and yet you've never dedicated yourself to the Lord, and God can't use you the way he wants to use you. And so Paul here talks about these vessels, and how they're going to be placed. Now, I personally want to be a person that's dedicated to the Lord, a person that the Lord wouldn't have to put me in the backyard or hide me away somewhere. I want the Lord to use me rather than shove me back on the back shelf because the inconsistencies in my life or because I'm not everything that he wants me to be. And I'm sure you feel the same way. If I asked you tonight, would you rather be a vessel of honor or dishonor for the Lord? I think every one of us would say, I'd like to be a vessel of honor. When you read your Bible, if I asked you, would you want to be used mightily like God used Paul or God used Peter or God used any of the 12 disciples? I bet you'd say, yeah, I would like to do that. Well, listen, just because you want to do it doesn't mean that God is going to use you as a vessel of honor. You've got to dedicate yourself. You've got to be faithful to the Lord in order to be a vessel of honor. Now, how are we to be vessels of honor before the Lord and be usable? How are we to do that? Well, in the next few verses, Paul tells us how to be vessels of honor before the Lord. In other words, if you want to be that person where God says, have you considered my servant, and then fill in the blank, then he tells us here how to do that. He tells us how to be vessels that God could be happy with. How to be the vessels of gold and silver rather than the vessels of wood and earth. How to be the vessels of honor rather than dishonor. And he begins by telling us in verse 21. Look at verse 21. He says, if a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet of the master's use. The word sanctified there means set apart. Set apart. Now, positionally, you were set apart unto God the moment you were saved. You became a child of God the moment you were saved. So in that sense, we've all been sanctified in that sense. But the Bible also tells us that we are to be sanctified daily to the Lord. In other words, we're to take our lives and set them apart for the Lord. And it's talking about our daily walk with the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that as believers, our lives are to be set apart for the Lord. And so he's saying, if you want God to use you, if you want to be the kind of vessel that can be on display in God's house, if you really want God to use you and be meat for the master's use, you must purge yourself. And what does that mean, to purge yourself? Well, it means to cleanse thoroughly, completely. It means to get rid of things. I noticed that Sister Ford purged the kitchen yesterday. She went in there and there's a bunch of things that were laying around that nobody uses. And so we got rid of them. Purged. It looks good too. Amen. Yeah. That's what purging means. It means to get rid of things. And if you want to really be used with the Lord, you need to purge some things in your life. Every one of us do. Get rid of those things that are dishonoring God. Get those things out. Get them things out of your life. Clean up. You know, we're not talking about just everybody here. I mean, some of you, maybe that really doesn't apply to you. Maybe you don't have that in your life. But if you do, you need to get rid of it, whatever it is. If it's something that God would not be pleased with, listen, he's not going to make you a vessel of honor if you're going to disobey him. If you're going to hold on to sin in your life, he's not going to set you apart and say, this is one right here I'm really happy with. No, that's not going to be you if you're going to keep sin in your life. You need to get some things out. And the Lord says, if you really want me to use you, you have to purge yourself. You have to get yourself clean before me. And if you really want to account for something for the Lord, if you really want to be relevant in the house of the Lord, if you really want to be that fine vessel that the Lord is happy to display, you have to make sure that there's no sin. In other words, you're not living in sin. If there's sin in your life and you're coveting that sin and you're not confessing that sin, then the Lord says, I'm not going to use you. You're not going to be a vessel of honor in my house. Now, I will say this, that once you start to dedicate yourself to the Lord, you'll start to notice that the more dedicated you become to the Lord, the more certain things will just naturally start to be removed in your life. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that the things that kind of stand in your way of serving the Lord, the more dedicated you get to the Lord, the more you read your Bible, the more you say, you know what, I'm just going to serve the Lord, pretty soon you start to lose interest in those things. You say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. Hey, let me tell you a story about a fellow years ago, before I got into ministry. I used to love to hunt. Now, I still love to hunt. Don't get me wrong. I do. But I mean, when I said I used to love to hunt, I mean, I really did. I mean, I would take 30 days back in the days when you had military give you actual 30 days of leave. I remember I would take 30 days a year and hunt those 30 days. I mean, that's 1/12 of a year. That's a whole lot of a person's life. Amen. But you know, once I started to serve the Lord and getting faithful to him and started reading my Bible more, and you know what I found out? I found out that I would rather come to church. I'd rather be around saved people. And I started to lose interest in those things. Now, I still go out from time to time, but I'm not spending 30 days out there. Why? I don't know. I just don't have the desire that I used to have for those things. And listen, when I say purge things from your life, how many of you understand? Now, yes, certainly we should purge the sins from our life. Get rid of those things. If you're living in sin, get rid of those things. No doubt about it. But you know, sometimes there can be things in your life that aren't bad, but they're affecting your walk with the Lord. You need to get rid of those things too. You know, the devil can use anything. He can use anything. He can use the good things. There's nothing wrong with your TV. I mean, you turn it on, it's this electrical signal, and you got a TV show there. But the devil can sure use it now, can't he? There's nothing wrong with your computer. I'm thankful that we're able to put this thing on live so people can watch us on YouTube. I'm thankful for that. But don't be fooled. The devil can use that for wrong. The devil can take anything and have it affect your Christian walk. And I'm just going to tell you tonight, if there's something in your life that is affecting your Christian walk, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you need to get it out of there. Purge it. I don't care what it is. And you say, well, I'm going to get rid of the bad things. Good. You should get rid of the bad things. But just because it's bad, that maybe not the only thing that's keeping you from serving the Lord. Maybe it's something good. So we need to make sure we purge those things. He says in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. If you're usable for the Lord and you are prepared for every good work, then you'll be, listen, if you'll make yourself usable, you'll be a vessel of honor. And he says there that there are some vessels of honor and some of dishonor. There are some vessels of silver and gold and some of wood and earth. Now he says in verse 21 that you can be a vessel of honor. You need to understand something here. If you have a cheap dish at your house, it'll always be a cheap dish. In other words, you can't do anything. You can't do anything, really, when it comes to you pleasing the Lord. You know what it is that pleases the Lord? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? You know what we sometimes do? We try to do the work ourselves. We say, okay, I'll turn over a new leaf, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll do this. No, listen, the only thing you really need to do is just draw close to the Lord, put your faith in Him, read your Bible, come to church, hear preaching, and you know what you'll find out? That things just kind of work, God just kind of works everything out. He'll change you from the inside out. What I'm saying tonight is this. On the outside, we are all just cheap dishes. We are. There ain't nothing special, but listen, look at me. There ain't nothing special here. We're just a bunch of cheap, we're all sinners. We all got problems. We're dishes that have flaws. Amen? But you know what makes us a vessel of honor? Not us. It's the Lord doing a work within us. That's how we become a vessel of honor. So what I'm telling you tonight is this. I'm not telling you to turn over a new leaf. Yes, there are some things you need to get out of your life. Do those things. But it's still God that's going to do a work on the inside. If there's one thing that's missing in Christianity today, the one thing that people get all messed up is this. It doesn't matter how much you try to make yourself right on the outside. It has to be God who makes you right on the inside. That's the reason why you go to churches today and so many churches say, well, you shouldn't dress like this and you shouldn't go places like that and you shouldn't listen to this and you shouldn't listen to that. Hey, listen, if that's something that's affecting your walk with the Lord, then don't do those things. But understand this, it doesn't matter what you do on the outside. What matters is what the Lord does on the inside. And if the Lord does it on the inside, then the outside will follow suit. How many of you understand that tonight? Listen, I don't have to get up here and tell you tonight, don't wear this, don't wear that, don't go here, don't go there. Why? I'm not the Holy Spirit. It's Him who gives you that conviction. It's Him who shows you those things. It's Him who shows you the things in your life that's affecting your Christian walk that you need to get rid of. I'm just simply telling you that when He tells you to get rid of them, get rid of them. Purge yourself of those things and be meet for the Master's use. Now, in verses 22 and 23, he tells us some more things that we must do. Look at verse 22. He says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now, he uses three verbs in these verses. Look at verse 22. He says, flee. Flee youthful lust. Lust is any desire or tendency or of any leaning that is normal in life but is pushed to abnormal extremes. And here's what he's talking about. He's talking about youthful lust. Now, I want to point out that every age has its own particular tendencies and desires. Every age does. You know, that Bible says over in the book of 1 John, it says, all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He said, that's all that's in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. May I tell you that every age group has particular things that they are tempted with. Now here, he's talking to young Timothy. You know what he says? He says, flee youthful lusts. Okay, that's the lust of the eyes, or the lust of the flesh. That's what he's saying to young Timothy. But may I tell you that when you get older, the things that tempted Timothy probably aren't going to be the things that tempt you, but don't be fooled. You're still going to be tempted because the devil's been doing this for 6,000 years. He knows how to tempt man. So you know what he does? He tempts those young people with youthful lusts. You know what he tempts, let's say, a middle-aged man with or a middle-aged person with? The lust of the eyes. We start to see those nice-looking cars. And we start to think, boy, if I had the money to buy those things. Mm-hmm. And then the people that are much older, you know what he tempts them with? The pride of life. They look back and say, look at my house. I worked hard for that. I worked all my life to have that. Yes, sirree. Now, wait a second. You don't have anything unless the Lord allowed you to have it. The Lord allowed you to have that job for years. The Lord gave you health so you could work that job for years. Everything you have, listen, don't look back at that thing and be proud of the things you have. Be thankful for the things you have and thank God for them. But you know, the devil will use those things, and the devil will use temptation. It doesn't matter what age group you are. I mean, Timothy here, he says flee youthful lust, but that could say flee elderly lust. It could say flee middle-aged lust. It could say those things. He's talking to Timothy here and saying, listen, you're young. You need to flee these things. But the truth of the matter is we need to flee whatever it is that's tempting us. And the devil knows exactly how to tailor make his temptations to different age groups. There are some temptations that are particularly tempting to the young. There are temptations that are temptations to the middle-aged. And then there are temptations that are particularly tempting to the elderly. Every age group has its temptations. But sometimes we think that the older a person gets, the less they're tempted. That's not true at all. Now, I'll admit that the young people today are tempted far more with things than what they were when I grew up. I'll be the first to admit that. But don't ever think for a second that just because you're no longer a teenager or a young person, that you can't be tempted either. Everybody's tempted. Okay? It doesn't matter what age group. And maybe the older you get, the more you feel like you need security. Maybe that temptation's fear. So the Lord was writing this verse to an older person. Maybe he would say, flee elderly lust. But he says, flee youthful lust. Then the second verb. Not only did he say flee, notice what he says in verse 22, it says follow. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Following righteousness, that means to being right and doing right. Following faith, that means being faithful to the Lord. Following charity, that's talking about having love for other Christians and having a love for God. Following peace. Boy, we need that. We need people that get along. So you have flee and then you have follow. Then look at verse 23, it says avoid. Avoid foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they do gender strife. He's saying don't get off on the meaningless tangents. He's saying that we're not to get ourselves into foolish questions, things that really don't matter. You know, there are a lot of issues that Christians will argue about till the cows come home, and they really don't really matter a hill of beans. Amen? They will. I mean, Christians will argue. Listen, not only will Christians argue over the silliest things, but they'll break fellowship over the silliest things. You know, there's a reason why when I taught the pastor's class, I decided to teach it on Saturday. You know why? Because if I taught some of those things on Sunday, they're meaningless things. They're things that, did I not say, if you disagree with me, that's okay, we'll agree to disagree? Yeah. Why? Because there are some subjects that the Bible doesn't give you enough information on, to where you've got a lot of circumstantial evidence, but the Bible never actually says that that's the way it is. So we teach on those subjects. But those subjects should be divisive. Why? Because Christians, we argue about things that don't matter. They don't matter. Now listen, I'll tell you what does matter. Is how is a person saved today? There's only one way. By believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day. That is the only way a person gets saved today. But to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now that matters. We got to agree on that. When it comes to eternal security, when that Bible says that he gave you everlasting life, that means it's everlasting, that means it lasts forever. That's what everlasting means. So that matters. Person day says, well, I believe you can lose it. Well, let me tell you something. If you could lose it, that means you would have to do something that you couldn't do to get saved. Think about that one. There was nothing you could do to save yourself. It's a straight, and listen, you tell anybody that comes up to you today and they say that you could lose your salvation, you ask them, was there anything you do to save yourself? Oh, no. Then what would make you think there was anything you do to keep yourself saved? Listen, we never stop being sinners. Anybody here stop being sinners the moment you got saved? Well, listen, if you're a sinner and you can lose your salvation, you've got a big problem. Because that means that you're going to lose it like every 5 minutes. And you better hope you don't die in the time that you lose it and get it back again, losing it, get it back again like a yo-yo. Hey, listen, folks, God knows. He knows us. He knows that we're sinners. And that's the reason he said, listen, I will give you everlasting life as a gift. You don't have to earn anything. You couldn't earn it. See, those things matter. But Christians argue over the silliest things. And we're not to do that. The Bible says avoid foolish and unlearned questions. Avoid knowing they do gender strife. Hey, listen, we need to be more concerned about the things we do know about this Bible than the things that we don't. That's a problem right there. So three commands, flee, follow, avoid. Now look at verse 24. And the servant Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. That means being approachable. Talking about someone who's not constantly blowing his top. Don't be the kind of person where folks have to walk on eggs around you all the time. Be gentle to all men. And then he says, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves of God. Peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Apt to teach, that's willing to communicate the truth. Patient, forbearing in difficult situations. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. He's saying that we have a responsibility to help those people who've gotten themselves entrapped by the devil. Look at verse 26. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him, watch it, at his will. You know, that tells you a whole lot about the devil. You know, that's telling you that if it wasn't for the Lord giving you his grace, if it wasn't for the Lord giving you help in the time of need, the devil would have you anytime he wanted to. But you know, he can't. He can't. Why? According to Job, he has to ask permission first before he does something to somebody. Amen? So God still has to allow him to sift us as wheat. And God will allow him to sift us as wheat when the time comes. But know this, I get so sick and tired. I sit there and I watch sometimes, I'll find myself watching, you know, TV evangelists. Now, I'm not saying they're all bad, okay? But my goodness, man. When I hear these TV evangelists saying, I bind you, devil. You couldn't bind anything. I mean, come on. It tells you right there he can get you anytime he wants to. I mean, you think about an angel that killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night, and you're going to bind the devil, are you? Good luck with that one. No, but the Lord can. Lord can. It says he can take us anytime he wants. And it says that he has snares. You know, if the devil has snares, that's talking about traps. Now, you know, I think mice don't like traps. But I'll tell you what they do like. They like cheese. And they like peanut butter. How many of you ever use peanut butter on your traps? I'm just going to tell you, cheese may work, but that peanut butter will get them every time. Okay? But there's, I don't think anybody here really wants their life to be wrecked. I don't think anybody here really wants, you know, I've never heard somebody come up to me and say, hey, my lifetime ambition is to be an alcoholic. I hope to be a bum in my life. I've never run into somebody who says, listen, I've gone to college for 4 years in order so I can make a wreck out of my life. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to make a wreck out of their life. But you know, the devil, you know what he wants? He wants to do that very thing. He wants to wreck us all. So what the devil does is he baits traps with appealing things so that he can ensnare us. Maybe he'll bait his trap with pleasure. Maybe he'll bait his trap with peer pressure. Maybe he'll bait his trap with material things. All these things the devil will use in his snares. And if you fall for the devil's bait, you will get caught in his snare. Some of you may be in the devil's snare tonight. Maybe you're just a puppet on a string and you're doing anything the devil wants. I want to tell you that in order to get out of that snare, how do you do that? Look at verse 25. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. It really is simple. The best way to get out of the snare of the devil is just admit the truth to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm in the devil's trap. I can't get out. I was silly to get into it. I fell for it. And Lord, I need to get out of there. Just acknowledge the truth. Just acknowledge the truth. But you know, that's so hard for us sometimes. We're so prideful sometimes. We you know, rather than acknowledging the truth, we like to maybe blame others. I know people today that's fallen in a trap of unforgiveness. They won't forgive somebody else. You know what they do? Whenever I talk to them about forgiving them, they'll come up with this. Rather than saying, you're right, the Lord says I should forgive them, and I should just come before the Lord and say, Lord, give me power to forgive them. That's the right answer. But instead, here's what they do. Pastor, you just don't understand what they did. I mean, what he did was so horrible. I just don't know. I try to forgive him, but I can't. You know what that is? That's not acknowledging the truth. That's pointing fingers. That's no different what Adam did when the Lord said, Adam, why are you over here hiding behind the trees? And he said, Lord, it's the woman thou hast gave me. And then he looks at Eve and goes, Eve, okay. He pointed a finger at you. What'd you do, Eve? And he says, that serpent that you made, Lord, that serpent. See, it's always blaming somebody else. Most of the time, it's blaming God. How many of you heard somebody say on the news, well, God made me this way? It's God's fault. No, it ain't. Sin's never God's fault. It's our fault. And if you're in a snare tonight, you know whose fault it is? It's yours. Every time you sin, it's your fault. Every time I sin, it's my fault. But the only person that's going to ever get you out of the snare, listen, it ain't me going to get me out of the snare. You know what happened? If I try to get myself out of the snare, I'll fall for another trap. I'll go from trap to trap to trap. But God can get you out of there. Listen, folks, it doesn't matter what you've got going on in your life tonight. The Lord can give you victory over that. The Lord can get you out. You say, well, why would he do that? Because he wants you to be a vessel of honor in his house. He wants you to be something that he can use, something that he can be happy with, something that he could say, have you considered my servant? That's what he wants. And if you're going to do that, you've got to do it his way. Flee youthful lust. Avoid those things that cause strife. Get clean. Get the things out of your life. And listen, call upon the Lord and just tell him the truth and confess the truth to him. And say, Lord, I need to get out of the snare because I want to be used in your life, or it'll be useful to you. But you know, there are so many Christians today that just don't care about that. They don't care. They say, you know what, I'm saved. That's good enough for me. I'm in the Lord's house, and even though I'm this wooden, cracked bowl that the Lord can't use for anything, it won't even hold water. But that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. I'll just, as long as I'm going to heaven, that's good enough. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. There is a judgment day coming. There's a judgment day coming for Christians. And you know who's going to get the rewards? Those who could be used by the Lord. The vessels of honor. They're the ones who's going to get the rewards. They're the ones that the Lord is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. I want to be used of the Lord. I want to hear those words. There's nothing more that I want in life than to hear those words that when I get to heaven, the Lord should take me home tonight. I want to hear those words. I want the Lord to look at me and say, Bob, you're a mess. Yeah, you've messed up so many times, but you know what? You confessed those sins to me, and I was able to use you to reach people. I was able to use you to preach the gospel. I was able to use you to go witness to somebody, invite people to church. I was able to use you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I know everybody in this room wants to hear those same words. You do. But you're never going to hear them if you allow sin to stay in your life. The Lord will put you on a shelf. You're never going to hear those words if you continue to stay in the trap of the devil and you're too proud to ask the Lord to help you out, to get you out of it. You're never going to hear those words. You're just going to be on a shelf somewhere. Yeah, somebody walks in. Yeah, boy, that's some good looking. Boy, look at those plates. Those plates are beautiful. Look at that silverware. That's just beautiful. What about that old thing sitting up there on the top? Yeah, well, that's mine, but I can't use it. Boy, how horrible would that be? How horrible would that be? How bad do you want to be a vessel of honor tonight? How bad do you want to be meat for the master's use? You know how many Christians I know today that they used to be the meat for the master's use. They used to serve the Lord faithfully. But they fell in the devil's snare of pride, and they're no longer being used of the Lord. See, they thought it was all about them. It's all about them. It's about what I can do. It's about my schedule. It's about me. Do you realize that every time that you get into an argument with somebody else in church or any time, you know what it is? It's two people that are all caught up on themselves. And that's the whole reason. They're all caught up on themselves. And they're not thinking about the Lord. What does the Lord want? Now listen, folks. The only way you're going to be meet for the master's use is to be faithful and committed to him. Do what he wants you to do. Let him make you into who he wants you to be. Forget about yourself. Forget about thinking about you. Think about him. And then he'll make you into the vessel that he wants you to be. A vessel of honor. Are you a vessel of honor tonight? Or are you that old broken dish that's sitting over there on the shelf? Which one are you tonight? Let's stand.